Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. It is the Sunday before Labor Day, and I was planning on taking a free day off, but the Lakers dropped the Luol Deng news on us, so we have actually something to talk about. I'm not joined by anybody. This is going to be a little bit shorter of a show, and I'm going to push back the mailbag show to Monday. So get ready to hear me ramble a little bit. Look, the Luol Deng news is huge, and I'm going to get to all of it, and I'm going to treat it kind of like another player preview, where I'm going to look back on Luol Deng's career as a Laker, career in air quotes, I would probably say, and I'm going to then look ahead to what they could maybe do with this extra roster spot, what this means in terms of cap space and all that. And then I think the most important point to make here is actually about the front office and their ability to understand the machinations of the cap. And this should put a lot of concerns kind of at ease here with how they're going to make all this work. So huge news for the Lakers. You guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find me. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. Today's show, as with all of this stretch of shows, is brought to you by Ease. Go to ease.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase. More on those guys here in a second. Let's talk, though, about Luol Deng. And it's tough to really kind of put into full context what this means for, like, his career, the decision made at the time. Both the Deng and Mozgov deals are now moving off of the books. And so, you know, it's time to kind of talk about it. So at the time, the Lakers were coming off of an off season where it was a disappointing one. It was disappointing at the time. I remember I was in Havasu that weekend, and the first bit of news midnight on July 1 was Lakers signed Timofey freaking Mozgov. He was the first call that they apparently made in the offseason, and that was pretty hilarious. Now that we can laugh at it now, right? Like, just like after a really bad relationship, you can kind of look back on it and you can think back, holy crap, what was I thinking with that ex? We are now at that point here with both Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng, and by extension, Jimmy Buss and, unfortunately, Mitch Kupchak. Jimmy Buss was trying to save his job at the time, it would seem, wanted to save face in any way that they possibly could. His bartender / scout was, I don't know, I'm not making up the fact that he had a bartender / scout. Like, that was a position held with the Los Angeles Lakers. A multi-billion dollar entity had a bartender / scout on their payroll. And Jimmy Buss listened to this person. And so, look, Mozgov and Deng were very obviously and very apparently mistakes that were made in that offseason. And there was some discussion, you know, you had to overpay Deng because he could come over and he could be a mentor. And look, by all accounts, by several accounts, he was a mentor to a lot of the young Lakers, and he was a good soldier in terms of not making too much noise. At the very end, he started making noise, and I think it's why, in large part, he is now gone. But Deng and Mozgov, you know, Deng came over after winning a championship. Unfortunately, in a postseason he couldn't really play in, and Deng comes over with the resume that he came over with, and the Lakers were in such dire straits that you said, well, they had to overpay to get either of those guys, and you know, it just didn't work out. And I don't blame Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka for wanting to completely separate themselves from the mistakes made by the prior regime. So here we are, and there they go. Deng now in probably Minnesota. Mozgov now in Brooklyn. No, he might be moved. I think he's in Charlotte now. Yeah, right. So he's now, Mozgov is now in Charlotte on his second team since leaving the Lakers, since being traded by the Lakers. And the Lakers now get to move on. And I'm going to talk in the next segment about how they're going to move on. But first, a few words about Ease. Ease is a platform that connects you to local retailers if you're in the greater LA area for cannabis. This is a huge thing for them, and they have passed up opportunities to potentially grow so that they stay and remain 100% legal. They want to abide by all of the rules and regulations as the machinations of legalizing cannabis come to the forefront. They wanted to make sure that people who utilize their app and utilize their website are always at ease. Get it? Sorry. They are always at ease knowing that they are going to, if they use the app or if they use the website, they are 100% abiding by rules and regulations that you know, a lot of other dispensaries or whatever haven't necessarily been following. So if you're using the app, you are 100% clear on an understanding of that they have abided by all of these rules and regulations. They have all of the oils, creams, pens, flowers, edibles, pre-rolls, and even pet products that you might need. It's safe, it's secure. As I just talked about, it's legal. And if you go to ease.co/lockedon or enter locked on into the app, you get $20 off your first purchase. So if you want to find another way to cope with pain or anxiety, whatever, if you wanted to use it recreationally, whatever, hop on to ease.co/lockedon, save $20 off your first purchase, or enter locked on into the app, and you get $20 off your first purchase, and you can move forward that way. More on those guys as we move forward. Let's take another brief second here to pay a couple more bills. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the options that the Lakers now have with Luol Deng off of their books. All right, Luol Deng is now a former Laker officially. And the Lakers have an open roster spot. A lot has been bandied about and prognosticated about in terms of their center rotation. So a lot of fans immediately started thinking about potential players to maybe fill out their rotation there. I don't really necessarily see that quite yet. I think that's more of a trade market kind of situation because most of the centers that would actually be net positives to their center rotation are already on teams. Unfortunately, this is the one kind of bummer here, but the Lakers had to make a decision and make a choice between Zubats and Thomas Bryant. It would certainly be nice to be able to still have Thomas Bryant on their roster. They do not. He is a Washington Wizard. It would be nice if the Lakers could still have him to watch him potentially grow. So there you go. I don't really see the Lakers using this open roster spot to bring in anybody new. Most of the free agent targets that they would be looking at are either restricted free agents or they're already signed. So the Lakers are probably going to have 14 players heading into training camp. Well, technically 16 if you count the two-way guys. So maybe they use that open roster spot to bring over Alex Caruso just in case Lonzo isn't fully healthy. One of those kinds of decisions, we'll see. But I think in the trade market, as we get into the trade market kind of situation, and as we get closer to February and the February buyouts and all those things, that's how I think you'll see the Lakers utilize this last 15th roster spot. I'm also interested to see, because they are so obviously focused on depth. Look, if JaVale McGee gets hurt, they're screwed, right? If Zubats gets hurt, they're screwed. If LeBron is not necessarily as open to playing center as everybody seems to think he is, they're screwed. So it wouldn't surprise me, therefore, if the Lakers, as soon as they can, move some of these players that they signed as salary ballast, if they use those guys to maybe bring in a center. The guy that I'm kind of interested to see them use as salary ballast is Lance Stephenson, because there just aren't very many minutes for him in the rotation. And you look, this is one of the things that the Lakers need to be able to do, right, is utilize every asset or potential asset that they have. And Lance Stephenson may not be an asset in terms of the basketball player, because I just don't trust him as a basketball player or a person. But I do think that as an expiring contract at $4-ish million, he becomes somebody who another team that's looking to shed salary might be interested in moving. So if you see out there on the market any center making $4-ish million that the Lakers could maybe move for a conditional second rounder that will probably never purvey, and Lance Stephenson to bring in somebody in case they wind up running into some injury issues in their center rotation, that's how I think this center, this 15th roster spot will get used. And even there, you're sending over Lance, so you're still not really necessarily using it. And look, in February, happens every single year, a team that maybe had playoff aspirations that ran into reality, looking at you, Phoenix Suns, they're going to buy out a player that they signed that wants to take part and participate in the playoffs. And as those guys become available, looking at you, Trevor Ariza, maybe the Lakers look to add that kind of player to their roster as a veteran to shore up any concerns that they have over the course of the season. So the big thing here, though, is that the Lakers have any kind of flexibility moving forward and extreme flexibility looking ahead to next year. And this is the big, big, big news here, is that the Lakers now have a roster spot or enough cap space to sign any free agent next year to a max deal. They have well over the, I think that I saw Tom Ziller say that max guys that the most people are going to sign to next year is around 32. I thought it was closer to 35, but it doesn't matter because the Lakers have well over $35 million in cap space next year. And if I was Minnesota, if I was Toronto, if I was Charlotte, whatever team that has a bona fide star that is coming off of the books next year, Milwaukee, I don't think Chris Middleton is necessarily a bona fide star. Golden State has Kevin Durant, and we'll see how that whole situation plays out. I think all of these teams that have guys who might come off of the books at that kind of rate next year, is they're probably a little nervous about the Lakers having this kind of space and also employing LeBron James. Like, this isn't the normal year where you look ahead and you say, hey, the Lakers have cap space and we'll see who they're able to convince. And instead, this is going to be, hey, the Lakers have cap space. They have an exciting young core. They're probably going to be coming off of a year in which they get back to the playoffs. Oh, and by the way, they have maybe the game's greatest player of all time in their employ, willing to do whatever he can to convince players to come over. We'll see how this all plays out, but the Lakers having this kind of cap space would make me really nervous if I was another team out there with a star on their books. And just get ready for a lot of trade speculation as these teams kind of start testing the market, just in case they don't want to lose those kinds of players for nothing. All right, we are going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I want to talk about this front office that I think should really be getting their due. All right, so this front office has come. I've been dubious about this front office. I have been skeptical about this front office. Just not necessarily in terms of the people who are in employ here, but in terms of the process by which they were hired. Right? It was very much just like hey, we have open spots in our organization, and magic, I hope you're available, right? There was not much of a net cast to see what other names might be interested in taking a job here in LA. It was very much a, no, Magic is our guy, Palenka is our guy, and we're moving forward with those guys. And, you know, I still don't think I was wrong in being skeptical, although I am really happy that my concerns have been answered with, oh, no, they actually do have a grasp for everything that needs to be taken care of here. So I'm really happy to see that this front office has trusted the scouting department to make the decisions that netted them Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, maybe Svi Mykhailiuk. We'll see how he turns out. Mo Wagner, same kind of thing. We have seen this front office understand and grasp the minor details, the minutia of the cap situation moving forward in the NBA, and understanding that by stretching Luol Deng on September 1 versus, say, August 31st, they saved, you know, upwards of a couple million dollars in cap space for the next few years. And that's a huge thing when you consider what all they're trying to do on the free agent market. So I'm still going to I'm not going to immediately call them and anoint them as the greatest ever or whatever. I'm always going to keep expectations at a respectively low place, so that I can not be let down, basically. But for right now, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, Jesse Buss, Ryan West, the Lakers are in good hands. And it's a bummer that, unfortunately, this has cost them now D'Angelo Russell to move Timofey Mozgov. They cost them Julius Randle to land Rajon Rondo, it would seem. It costs Thomas Bryant to be able to make the decision on Luol Deng on September 1st. All of these things have costs and opportunity costs, and we'll see how it all plays out. But for right now, when you consider everything that these guys have done for the Lakers, you have to feel like the Lakers are in a pretty good spot moving forward. So shouts to Magic Johnson. And again, I've harped on this a few times now. It's really effing cool that it's Magic Johnson in charge of all these things and landing the Lakers, LeBron, and everything. So it's really cool to see that all take place, and Los Angeles's biggest star is the one who continues to brighten his star in Magic Johnson, when you consider we weren't sure that he was going to make it into the new millennium. So shouts to Magic, shouts to Rob Pelinka, shouts to their entire team. Luol Deng is a former Laker. I hope you guys enjoyed me just kind of rambling on about this kind of situation. There's a lot of moving parts still left to be taken care of here. I'm sure we're still going to get details in the coming weeks or so to find out about what all went on behind the scenes with Luol. And so... best of luck to Deng moving forward in Minnesota. I'm willing to just go ahead and predict that. Like, we all know what Tom Thibodeau is going to do here. He's going to sign Luol Deng, and he's going to run him 100% into the ground. The Lakers are going to move forward with the flexibility that they have. And yeah, in terms of this show, though, we are going to move it along, and I'm going to answer your questions in tomorrow's show, the day after Labor Day. So it'll be a Mailbag Tuesday. Sorry that we don't have it doesn't sound as flashy as Mailbag Monday, but Mailbag Tuesday will be taking place tomorrow. Get your questions in on iTunes in the form of 5-star reviews, and I will talk to you then. Have a great rest of your day.